And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns, and we welcome you guys to Game Week. It's finally here, Luke. It's been a long summer. As we record this right now, we are 72 hours from kickoff. It's been a very long off season. I know that there's been a ton of coverage on it about Gopher Illustrated through spring practices, through recruiting season, through fall practices. But Luke, now it's time to give the people what they want, and what they want is some Gopher football on a Thursday night.
Yeah, absolutely. As always, this season we're going to be sponsored by the Goal Line Club. If you don't know anything about the Goal Line Club, check out their website. It's new and it's revamped. It's pretty awesome. You can go there if you want to join like some of their events, like the tailgate, which, by the way, we actually give a promo code away for non-members. I need to clarify that this is for non-members of the GLC. You get $5 off. Use the promo code OPENER5, OPENER, and the number 5 to get $5 off your tailgate cost.
And I know that from, I'm sure you've seen the discussion on Gopher Illustrated about it. I think there's going to be a fair amount of people from GI at that Goal Line Club tailgate.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a good excuse to meet some new Gopher fans, right? And I think one of the other things that we should mention is that this is friendly for many different categories of folks, right? So if you have kids, it's family friendly. If you want to hang out with some other adults, etc., you know, get after it, as Mr. Burns says, you can definitely find those folks there as well. It's a great opportunity to just hang out very close to TCF Bank Stadium, and you can get right there real quick.
Yeah, we can talk about that a little bit later, but we can get into some stories.
Yeah, that's funny. Okay, so Ryan, to pretty much in our normal routine, we always talk about the injury and depth chart. I'm gonna say that as I prepared for this podcast, I couldn't actually find a depth chart, which is sort of uncommon, but I also couldn't find a depth chart for South Dakota State either. So this might be like, if you're not going to do it, I'm not going to do it.
It 400% is that. I mean, it's not just 100%. It's literally and figuratively, as I love to say, 400% the case, where normally, as we continue to go through and as we continue to go through the non-conference, there's going to be a depth chart out usually on Tuesdays before the Saturday game. But Minnesota, as we release it here, or as we speak here on Monday night, has not released a depth chart yet. Well, it's no coincidence that Minnesota hasn't, because South Dakota State also hasn't put out a public depth chart, as far as I'm aware.
Right.
So you're seeing a little bit of gamesmanship here, where Minnesota's telling, well, they're not telling them directly, but actions speak louder than words, that, you know, Minnesota's really going to have to try to hide some things, because, you know, it's not like they return 95% of their offense and 85% right. of their defense. So really going to throw South Dakota State for a loop. But if we do get a depth chart, I know from talking with some folks in the athletic department today, it's going to be on Wednesday. And so I was asking them, well, do you think PJ is actually going to list who the number two quarterback is? And he went, nope. I go, okay, cool. Do you think that they're going to release who the kicker is going to be before Thursday? Nope. They're probably going to list Brock Walker and Michael Lance's Orr. Cool, 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 cool. For those of you that are Brooklyn Nine-Nine fans. And so even if we had a depth chart, Luke, you'd be shocked to know this. It's not really going to tell us anything we haven't already known. So for those of you who want to look at a depth chart, I would encourage you to put it into your Google machine, Gopher Illustrated depth chart, and I can you can look at the one I've projected throughout fall camp. I've been updating it each week as new information has come in from my own eyes at practice, from what I've heard from sources. So if you're really adamant about a depth chart, there's a free one on Gopher Illustrated for you to get a sneak peek at before we get out on the field on Thursday.
You know, and I got to imagine here, I know we've touched on this time and time again, that, you know, there's a lot of programs. PJ is not the only one that doesn't release a depth chart.
Michigan is the worst.
Yeah.
Did you see the one that Georgia Tech released today too, by the way?
No, I didn't see that, but
They released it, but they were like, you know, our coach doesn't believe in depth charts, so we're going to go with an effort chart. Like,
interesting.
Get the hell out of here.
Well, like, okay, so here,
college football, release your, like, this is, I just don't understand, like, especially if you're Minnesota in this instance. Like, I understand, we'll get into it. South Dakota State is a very good FCS team. They're going to compete in the Missouri Valley. They're going to be a top 10 team that has a shot at the FCS title. But in that same respect, Luke, you literally return 95% of your offense. and literally return 85% of your defense. I mean, hell, they could just be reading Gopher Illustrated if they really wanted to know. These SDSU coaches could.
And they probably do.
I want to put it past them, and it's like, well, what's the point of not putting out a depth chart? I just don't understand it. If you're Minnesota in this instance, I mean, say you're, well, I don't know, for example, Oregon versus Auburn coming up here.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, neither one of those teams releases a depth chart, one's not going to go out of their way to do so. So it's like, maybe you have an advantage there, but a Big Ten team against a Missouri Valley team? Like, come on now.
Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but a number of states have started to legalize gambling, right? And at what point are they going to be legally obligated to release a depth chart, right?
I think that was a big discussion topic back at Big Ten Media Days, and I believe 2018 when Jim Delaney was asked that. And I think something he said something about putting into a coach's vote potentially, and I know that PJ kind of came out and was asked at that 2018 Big Ten Media Days about that, and he wasn't a huge fan of it, and, you know, betting on college athletics. But that's just the way that the world is turning with each state now.
Right.
I think up to 11 or 12 states, but the most recent one being Iowa that has legalized sports betting. And it's a very profitable business for each state.
Right.
So I would be very curious, but hey, I just don't think that the gamesmanship is needed in this instance. But
yeah,
like I said, I don't think you're going to see one before Wednesday. If you are dead set on seeing a projected depth chart, like I said, I have a free one on Gopher Illustrated. And if you're listening to this podcast, you probably know that I'd like to think I have a pretty good handle of what you're going to be able to see on Thursday night.
Well, and additionally, whatever they put out is probably not going to have a ton of merit anyway.
Sometimes
so.
It's accurate. Sometimes it's not. More times than not, it's not accurate.
Right. All right. So let's actually talk about the South Dakota State Jackrabbits. They're going to visit TCF Bank Stadium here on Thursday. So I guess I know that they're losing a lot, especially on offense where they lose their quarterback. But when they are on offense, you know, what can we kind of predict or expect? I mean, I know that openers are, it's really hard to project, especially when, you know, they lose massive parts of their previous year. But, you know, what are you anticipating to expect out of the Jackrabbits in this contest on Thursday?
Yeah, the biggest thing you need to know about South Dakota State's offense coming into Thursday night is they're replacing arguably the most irreplaceable player, arguably in Missouri Valley history, by a kid by the name of Taron Christian, who's now with the Dallas Cowboys. Taron Christian was the quarterback for South Dakota State, and he is the all-time leader in Missouri Valley Conference history in passing, I believe passing touchdowns, and one more stat as well. So anytime you have the all-time leader in conference history in different passing categories, and you replace him with a guy, when it's looking to be, according to Matt Zimmer of the Argus Leader, Jabori Gibbs, who is a redshirt freshman who has not taken a single collegiate snap in his entire life yet. He's a redshirt freshman. Redshirted last year, didn't see any game time at all. There's going to be a little bit different of an offense, especially when the offensive coordinator for South Dakota State last year left to take the Northern Illinois job. So now you're looking at a brand new offensive coordinator as well. So you have a brand new offensive coordinator and a brand new quarterback being really broken in on one night. So it's going to be very interesting to see what Joe Rossi does. And I actually asked Joe Rossi that today. And you can check out that full interview, free on Gopher Illustrated as well. Should be on the front page. About, I asked him, how do you prepare for a quarterback and an offensive coordinator that are literally going to be in game one? And he talked about how difficult that is, how he really hates the first games of seasons because Minnesota likes to look back at the last three games to look at tendencies, to look at different things for whatever kind of scout that they're putting together. And Rossi alluded to essentially that there's not really a huge point in doing that because Jabori Gibbs is going to be a lot different than Taron Christian. This offense is going to be a lot different because you go from a senior quarterback who is one of the best in the all of FCS football to a guy who's unproven. You go from an offensive coordinator that had been there with Taron Christian to now you're breaking in a new guy in Jason Eck, who was also the offensive line coach. So the offensive line coach is now elevated to the offensive coordinator position. Now, that being said, those are the two big departures. But other than that, there's so much coming back for this Jackrabbit team. They have their top two running backs coming back in Pierre Strong and Mikey Daniel. Pierre Strong being the big guy to know here. He averaged nearly 10 yards per carry He had 11 touchdowns last year. Mikey Daniel also had 10 touchdowns last year. If you look at their skill position players, their top two receivers are back, including a kid by the name of Cade Johnson. If you remember two guys from this podcast to watch when you're either sitting in your seat on Thursday night, if you bought those, by the way, did we talk about on this podcast already how they sold 7,000 tickets in 24 hours?
I don't think so. The flash sale thing's really seeming to take off a little bit in this market. I know the Twins were successful with it. I think there have been other flash sale instances. I'm trying to think if the Lynx did one that did pretty well, but regardless, this is something that you need to capitalize on, an opportunity to just fill the stadium and build an atmosphere for that first game.
And I know that some season ticket holders aren't thrilled with it. We've had this gigantic discussion about it on Gopher Illustrated, and I know that some season ticket holders are like not thrilled about it because obviously the price and the barrier to entry is much lower than what I have to pay for my season tickets. But on the other flip side of the coin, and I think you probably agree with this, Luke, I think it's about building an atmosphere.
Right.
And maybe you get some of these casual fans in the door, or some being 7,000. And if they're able to witness a great atmosphere, if they're able to witness a hopefully commanding Gopher win, they're going to want to come back again. And I think each person listening to this who is a season ticket holder would agree that the goal should be to kind of fill the stadium, because those atmospheres in October, November, when it's cold out and maybe not everybody is getting into their seats, isn't great. And so if they're able to, Mark Coyle is also trying to, do some things. I'm not sure if you saw the things that they're doing in Gopher Hour.
I did. I like a lot of what they're doing, even with the students, right? Like they're trying to win basically fans back. I don't know if win fans back, but they're trying to sell fans on like enjoying the entire experience, because a football game is more than literally just 60 minutes of game time. Yeah, exactly. Right.
I mean, is it a large part of it? Yes, but there's also so much more to a football game than the product on the field. Say you're bringing your better half for some casual fans who just, they're okay with football, but they're kind of there to talk to you, or they're there to have a good time. They're there to enjoy the energy in the stadium, or they're there for the tailgating lots beforehand. Everybody comes to a football game for a different reason, and if you can get more and more people to come, and hopefully there's a good product on the field this year, as I think every person listening to this podcast knows, Luke and I predicted 9-3 seasons. So the product on the field should be good. And if we get more people in the stadium to see this product, they're more likely to come back. So, back to South Dakota State's offense, Kay Johnson is the guy to know. Kay Johnson and Pierre Strong. Pierre Strong's the really good running back, and the really good receiver is a kid by the name of Kay Johnson. He had 67 receptions for 1,300 yards and 17 touchdowns last year. And these are the two guys that Minnesota's going to have to stop. But when you look at this Gopher, this Gopher defense going about it, and I'll get into it a little bit later in my keys to the game. If you're Joe Ross, you have to stop the run. Because if I was South Dakota State's offensive coordinator, who I mentioned earlier was also the offensive line coach, and he was the run game coordinator last year. So, Luke, what do you think South Dakota State's going to want to try to do?
Probably establish the run.
They're going to want to establish the run. And you're breaking in a brand new quarterback. Your offensive coordinator was the offensive line coach and is the offensive line coach, along with the run game coordinator. And where are your strengths with your two running backs coming back? So this is how South Dakota State stays in the game, is if they're able to establish the run and not put it on the arm of a quarterback who hasn't played a collegiate snap yet. I mean, the hope is that this guy doesn't turn into Kyler Murray or Cam Newton or something out there. But I'm going to imagine that South Dakota State's going to want to come out and establish the run. And if you're Minnesota, mm-hmm. you have to stop the run, and you got to get off the field on third down, because the best thing that could happen in this game is Minnesota gets up to a 10-0 lead, a 14-3 lead, and then South Dakota State gets into a massive negative game script, and they're like, well, we can't keep trying to run the ball. We're going to have to pass it, and then you put it on an unproven arm.
All right, so obviously for the Gophers, the defense at times was really shaky and inconsistent. But the highlight was an offense that, really took some massive strides. So what can that offense expect to see when they face South Dakota State from their defense?
Well, when you look at South Dakota State in 2018, their defense was about middle of the pack FCS-wise. Whether you want to look at total defense, where they finished 60th, they finished in the top 25 in scoring defense, but I think some outlier games really skewed that. They weren't very good against the run. They allowed nearly 200 yards a game on the ground, and they were pretty good against the pass. And so what they have coming back is essentially all of their defensive line returns. And the big guy in the middle at the linebacking core is a kid by the name of Christian Roseboom. Can you guess how many tackles this young man had last year? It's an absurd amount.
Well, if it's an absurd amount, it's north of 100, so I'll go 121.
165 tackles Yikes. Last year. That, I mean, this dude is always around the ball. He's an NFL prospect for the Jackrabbits out there. He had double-digit tackles for loss. I mean, this guy really does it all. Mm-hmm. So where SDSU is going to be susceptible is essentially most of their secondary graduates. And so that's where they're going to be very unproven back there. And so you look at Minnesota's offense, what are they going to want to do in this game? Well, they're going to want to really get the run game going. That's where Kirk Shiraka's offense gets going, and that's where Minnesota's strengths are. And number one in their three running backs who have a combined 6,500 collegiate rushing yards, Rodney Smith, of which, by the way, you're going to see Rodney Smith on Thursday, and you're going to notice some funky things with his hair. I saw him today at coordinator availability, and he's got some interesting color in his hair. I shouldn't report about it until people see him on Thursday, but there's some interesting hair colors in Rodney Smith's hair. All I can tell you is this kid's really excited to be back in a football field. So between Rodney Smith and Mo Ibrahim, you're going to see a lot of carries there. But where I think Minnesota is going to be able to exploit them is through the air with Tyler Johnson and Rashad Bateman. Now, if I was the opposing defensive coordinator, and we talked about this last week, Luke, where in the non-conference, I expect defensive coordinators to really double team or bracket, try to take Tyler Johnson out of the equation. Now, Tyler Johnson going against these caliber of opponents that aren't necessarily Big Ten caliber should be able to really do work with them. But that being said, that's going to leave a lot of one-on-one matchups on the outside for Rashad Bateman. And if Tanner Morgan's deep ball is there, you're going to see some really weird stat lines. And by weird, explosive. Something along the lines of, I wouldn't be surprised on Thursday night when I leave the stadium that Rashad Bateman has 4 catches for 122 yards and 2 touchdowns. I mean, he is going to take the top off. And so if Minnesota can really establish themselves on the ground early in the game, that's only going to open up the passing game even more, because if you're South Dakota State, I mean, you have to stop the run. With Fall, Ailey, Curtis Dunlap, Connor Olson, Sam Schluter, and Blaze Andrews, each one of those boys up front is over 300 pounds. Each one of those guys is 6'5", and each one of them is pretty athletic in space. And so Ibrahim knows how to find it in the zone running scheme. Rodney Smith's going to be getting his legs back underneath him, but I just think that this Minnesota team is going to be tested in the front seven, but where they can be exploited in that Jackrabbit defense is really in their secondary.
All right, so we probably should give another word to our sponsor. Again, our sponsor for the entire 2019 football season is the Goal Line Club. If you don't know anything about the Goal Line Club, check out their website, goalineclub.org. Again, it's refreshed. It's really fancy. One thing that we should note as well is if you want to participate in their tailgates, you can actually buy a season pass this year for $275. You'll be able to join every single one of the tailgates. It's kind of like the subscription model, but you just pay it all up front and you can go to all of them. But if you want to go the a la carte route, you can be a member. If you're a member of the Goal Line Club, it's $35. If you're a non-member, it's $50. The tailgate for Thursday starts at 5 p.m. It'll close down about 7:30 p.m. So you got a good 2.5 hours to hang out with folks, grab some good food, grab some drinks, etc. Again, if you want to get $5 off, there is a GGR a promo code that is opener 5, OPENER, and the number 5. And again, I think, Ryan, I think one of the things that we need to stress, which we have not stressed very well this year, is that if you are supporting the Goal Line Club, you are in essence supporting Gopher football.
You are, because what the Goal Line Club is they're the booster club for the Gopher football program. So PJ Fleck, you know, needs something and they can go to the Goal Line Club, and the Goal Line Club hopefully has the funds to be able to support them. And so whether it's the jackets on the sidelines, whether it's something within the athletic complex that they think would help out the players, whatever it may be, they go to the Goal Line Club for support. And so your money wouldn't just be going towards some organization. It'd be going directly back into the Gopher football program. And like Luke said earlier about the tailgates here, it is an open bar. And I can promise you that whether you're a beer or a wine or a mixie, especially if you're into the mixies, they make them pretty strong. And it's just an open bar, so you can go up there as many times as you want. And, you know, whether you bring your kids, there's kid-friendly places in there for them to have a good time and them to hang out. Or whether you're going out there with your buddies and you're looking for a good time, you can find people out there trying to do the same thing as well. Or if you're, you know, trying to meet some new people within the Gopher football circle, right in front of, what is it? It's Williams Arena, correct?
Yeah, it's Williams Arena.
So, if you are a non-member and you want to check it out, it's supposed to be absolutely beautiful on Thursday. I believe it's going to be a high of 80 that day. So if you're going to get off work a little bit early and you want to go down, have a couple of drinks, talk some Gopher football, and get ready to go into the stadium, I think the Goal Line Club tailgate is a great option.
All right, Ryan, let's get into this game. We'll get to your keys of the game in a moment, but I should summarize. You were mentioning the weather. I'm looking right now. The prediction as we sit here Monday evening is that at 8 p.m. it'll be 72 degrees. There'll be a 9-mile-an-hour wind, a beautiful dew point of 51%. So it's an absolutely beautiful night.
You couldn't ask for a better opening night, because we've had some opening nights, and I'm not a big heat guy. And I would rather it be 62 degrees year round and sunny. That's where I thrive as someone who runs hot all the time. But 72 degrees and a little bit of wind, sunny skies. I remember TCU and a couple other openers have been, muggy in the 90s, and you're sticking to your seat. And there's no excuse for Thursday night. This is as good of an August collegiate football game as you can ask for, folks.
Yeah.
Weather wise, that is anyone.
Yeah, the sun will set at 7:57 for an 8 p.m. kickoff. As the game comes to a close, probably somewhere around 11, temperature around 65. Again, dew point around 53, just absolutely beautiful. And when we look at this game from a gambling perspective, the line opened at the Gophers favored at 12.5. That has moved to 14 with an over-under of 56. So, Ryan, as you look at this specific game, for the Gophers to walk away with a victory, what are your keys for them?
Yeah, and so Vegas thinks this is going to be a 35-21 game, essentially. And I think I'd be a little bit surprised if South Dakota State puts up that many points on the board. I know that they were a very prolific offense last year, and they have a lot returning. I'm just – Taron Christian's departure is going to be such a key point to this game, because my biggest key is – you can't let Jabari Gibbs, their brand-new redshirt freshman quarterback, get comfortable, because the 6'2", 218-pounder in Taron Christian, who left last year, as I mentioned earlier, he's the all-time leader in Missouri Valley Football Conference history in passing yards, passing touchdowns, and total offense. I mean, this guy accounted for 13,000 total yards of offense. That's absurd. And so there's going to be nothing there now. I mean, it's going to look a lot different. This was a very confident guy, Christian. He'd seen a lot. Well, Gibbs hasn't seen anything. And one of the big reasons is, well, obviously, Taron Christian. And so I think the biggest thing I'm interested to see, and Joe Rossi talked about it today, Minnesota's defensive coordinator, is how they adjust on the fly. Because Rossi singled that out as, we're going to see some things that we weren't expecting, because it's a new offensive coordinator and it's a new quarterback. So we have to come over the sidelines. We have to be able to communicate, and we have to be able to fix those things. And as I mentioned, Jason Eck is the one taking over the offensive coordinator position for Eric Idness. I hope I enunciated that correctly, who's now at Northern Illinois. So the big question to me is just, how does Minnesota make him uncomfortable? Number one, they have to stop the run. You have to stop Mikey Daniel. You have to stop Pierre Strong. And that's where Minnesota's defensive line and front seven should be able to take on that South Dakota State tight end and offensive line group and be able to have their way at times. And I think that's especially going to be something where that's going to have to come into play in the second half. So if I was South Dakota State on offense, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, Luke, I would try to ease in my really green signal caller as best I can. And how do you do that? Well, you try to make things go on the ground. You try to ground and pound. And so if you're Minnesota, I mean, it makes sense. That's the way they would attack you, because, Luke, you remember this. I'm sure many Gopher fans remember this from last year.
Yeah.
Minnesota struggled to stop the run at times.
Right.
And I would really test them early in the game. And so your hope would be that Minnesota is stout on third down, doesn't allow them to really have sustainable drives, and they get out to an early lead. But that's my biggest key to this game is you can't let South Dakota State run the ball, and you have to put it on the arm of that freshman quarterback. Number two, and maybe just as important to me, is you have to come out hot in the trenches. Because if there's one area where a Big Ten team should, and I say that in air quotes, should have the advantage over a Missouri Valley team, it's in the trenches. And now I understand that South Dakota State has a lot of pieces coming back on both sides of their line. But I just firmly believe this is an area where a good Big Ten team can enforce their will up front. And there aren't a lot of guys in the Missouri Valley that look like Daniel Falele, Blaise Andrews, Curtis Dunlap, Asezio Tomiwu, Carter Coughlin. I could go on. And all of those guys up front need to play well on Thursday night because, to me, they're the tone setters. If Minnesota's offensive line is having their way and getting, you know, in a perfect world, you'd see a lot of Blaise Andrews and Curtis Dunlap on Christian Roseboom, that linebacker. Why do I say that? Because that means that the tackles in the center are handling their guys up front, and that allows the guards to flow to the second level and not allow Christian Roseboom to get another 160-tackle season. Because if you force the secondary guys that are unproven to try and tackle Mo Ibrahim in space or Rodney Smith in space, that's probably going to go Minnesota's way. And so that's where Minnesota's offensive line, I think, may struggle a little bit to start the game. It's a brand new group together. These guys have only played together in practice. But as the game progresses, that second half should be the real difference maker. And for the defensive line, I'm very intrigued. And Joe Rossi talked about this today as well, how they feel much better about the defensive line. But that being said, they want to see it against somebody that's not the Gopher offense. So it's going to be a test of how improved is this unit actually, because there's so many new faces here. You have Mike Adu-Treadway, Keontae Shad, Sam Renner is going to get an extended look. You have Jamal Teague in his second year. Is Asezio Otemiwu going to get that second step or that third year really going with him? Is Tay Deavers going to recapture the 2016 season? How does Carter Coughlin look with an expanded amount of pass rush moves? I mean, there's just a lot of unknowns here. I've seen encouraging things in camp. We've talked about it on this podcast. I've talked about it on Gopher Illustrated. But now it's time to see, this is your first test of the season. I mean, all the practice quizzes and all the different things that you've done in practice are great, but now it's time to execute. And then my biggest thing, or the last key here anyway, is you need to keep the foot on the gas pedal for four quarters. Because in a perfect world, if you're a Minnesota fan going to this game Thursday night, the Gopher defense comes out with a couple of stops in the first two series for South Dakota State. The offense gets two scoring drives, including a touchdown, and that forces a South Dakota State team into a negative offensive game script. What does that mean? It means there's going to have to go a lot more pass heavy because, Luke, you're a smart man in terms of math. If you're down 14-3, 14-0, 10-0, it doesn't seem very advantageous to continue to go run heavy and have a 12-play, 70-yard drive that ends in a field goal. Well, you're still down 7, and you just burn 9 minutes off the clock. And sources tell me that's a little bit tough to do.
That's like a sixth of the game, just saying.
It sounds like Minnesota's October. I couldn't hear that rim shot from my desk. That's what it was. So in an ideal world, that's what happens. Minnesota gets two scoring drives. They get a couple of stops, and they put South Dakota State in this negative game script where you put it on the arm of Jabori Gibbs as he tries to force it to Kay Johnson, as he tries to force it to Adam Anderson. And I do think it's interesting and worth noting that it was asked today to Joe Rossi about his corners. And, you know, we talked about on this podcast, we've talked about on Gopher Illustrated how they've been rotating five corners on the outside religiously throughout camp. That's Terrell Smith, Coney Durr, Benjamin St. Juice, Philip Howard, and I'm forgetting one more, Terrell Smith, I think. I think that's all five. Five different names, yeah?
I think so.
And he talked about how he's comfortable putting any of those five in the game, and he said that the secondary unit as a whole is the most improved unit on the entire team.
Interesting.
So I was expecting him to say the defensive line, but he came out and said the secondary. So that has to make you feel a little bit better, but in an ideal world, the secondary is going to be tested a little bit because they're going to be in passing down situation.
So one notable position missing there was safety, though. I think that's the one we're most concerned about. But I mean, he lumped the whole secondary in.
He did, and not just the corners. He said the entire secondary. And I even asked him about Jordan Howden. And again, that guy that we've talked about a lot on this podcast, and to see his response to that, I encourage you to go to Gopher Illustrated. Again, it's free. You can read exactly what Joe Rossi said about what does Jordan Howden have to do to, number one, maintain his starting spot alongside Winfield, and why is he getting the starting nod? A lot of talk there about it. So to keep the foot on the gas pedal for four quarters, I mean, that's the constant. And we've talked about on this podcast a lot that the big word for this 2019 season that we are going to continue to stress, or just me myself, is consistency. That is what plagued them so heavily throughout the 2018 season. You saw the ups and downs from September to a dreadful October to a hopeful December and November there. Well, if you're going to get to 9 wins like we've predicted, you have to be consistent. And so that's from drive to drive. And for the South Dakota State game specifically, you have to come out the gate with a little bit of fire in your tush, and you got to keep that burning all the way until the final whistle. You can't underestimate an FCS team. I mean, you most recently looked 10 years back at this game, Luke. Minnesota played South Dakota State. Minnesota won on a late field goal, and they won 16-13. And this isn't – that South Dakota State team that came into TCF Bank Stadium that year wasn't the quality that this 2019 version of that team is. So – this is an FCS team that is expected to compete for the national title out there with about 8-9 other teams. So if you're Minnesota's offense, you have to be able to move the chains early. And the defense has to get off the field, and more importantly, on third down. Make Jabari Gibbs beat you. I just can't really see a way unless he turns into, like I said, Cam Newton, Kyler Murray, what other mobile quarterback you want to put back there, Josh Allen. I mean, if the Minnesota can give consistent effort and, more importantly, execution throughout all four quarters, I'm pretty sure that Gopher football fans are going to be very happy when they leave on Thursday night.
Yeah, I think the consistency thing is definitely something that we've harped on a lot on this podcast. I mean, even as optimistic as people were about the end of the last five games of last season, they ended with a loss at Illinois. This is basically the November in the bowl game. But it was a loss at Illinois, a win at Purdue, a loss at home to Northwestern, a win at Wisconsin, very big, and then a bowl win. But even then, I mean, that was what everybody's so optimistic about, but that's still pretty inconsistent. They couldn't find ways to get victories. And I know that they played a really good Northwestern team. I know Wisconsin was down. I know Purdue was good at a time, but they got absolutely blitzed.
No. None of this Wisconsin is down talk. I am so sick of that narrative.
That's fair, but their defensive line was down. But yes, that's not a narrative we can run with.
Still an 8-win team in the Big Ten that had 3 senior linebackers. I don't want to hear any of this about Wisconsin was down. If that game would have been closer, Wisconsin got their ass kicked.
Yeah, they did. You're right. What I'm trying to say is it wasn't like there was consistency that whole stretch in November, right? There was basically two back-to-back games where they played really well.
I mean, the big constant there would be Joe Rossi, and that's where we need to see in 2019, was Joe Rossi the magic formula there that is going to allow Minnesota to find consistency this fall?
Right, exactly. And I think at this point you would agree with me that the sample size is too small. I think I'm okay. I'm more or less okay with them giving him the nod at defensive coordinator. I'm okay with that. He probably earned enough, but the sample size is relatively too small given his back history of not being very successful as a defensive coordinator elsewhere.
Now, I would agree to that to an extent. I will say, from what I have seen and from what I have, from what I've heard from PJ, from what I've heard from Rossi about the creativity, and I've seen how he's been creative in different situations and practice, that's all great. But again, I learned a long time ago, and by a long time ago, as long ago as a 27-year-old could, that I hear what you say, but I trust what you do.
Right.
So I hear about the creativity. I've seen the creativity in practice. Now I need to see that translate onto Saturdays, because we've seen that even as most recently as last year. Why Zach Anix had won the job last year was big part of it was his deep ball accuracy. Well, then 6 Saturdays came and went, and that was really lacking. Mm-hmm. So how does this, from what we've seen in practice and from what Joe Rossi has called in practice against specific looks, translate over onto Thursday and Saturday nights here this month? That's going to be the big determinant for me.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm 100% with you on the consistency piece. And I think especially in a game like this, a key for me, and you mentioned it, is that you keep them off their game script, right? You just have to find a way to keep them, you know, in third and longs and give a chance to see, you know, how improved is this defensive line. That is something that I'm going to be looking for. We've heard, at least those of us that participate in your website, Gopher Illustrated, you know, how improved this defensive line is. And we're just hoping that you haven't sold us a boat of goods like Hank Ekpe, you know?
If we're getting into Hank Ekpe talk, I'm just going to turn off the microphone already. What is this, Mitch Leiner 2016 or Hank Ekpe probably that same year? So, all right, we're dragging on. Okay. People want to get out of the gym, get out of their lawnmower.
Yeah.
What's your prediction for this upcoming Thursday night, Mr. Bjork?
I'm gonna give it to the Gophers. I think that I think they're gonna kind of run away with this one. I'm gonna, you know, I know this is totally changing, but a little more research. I listened to you talk for a decent amount of time. I'm going to give them a 42-21 victory.
I think that's definitely within the realm of possibilities. Like you said, Vegas sees this as a 14-point win. More specifically, they see it as a 35-21 win. And I just don't see it being that close. I know that South Dakota State returns a lot on both sides of the ball, but they're breaking in a brand new quarterback, and where they are very exploitable and very young is in that secondary. And that's where Minnesota may have the most talent on their entire offense, between Tyler Johnson, Chris Ottman-Bell, Rashad Bateman. I mean, I could go on there. So if this game is close, if it is close, it's because Minnesota's offense is not doing what PJ likes to say, and they're not taking care of the ball, and the ball is the program. So if Minnesota's offense is turning it over left and right and the defense can't get off the field on third down specifically, this game's going to be close. It's going to be a lot closer than I would like, than many of you would like. But I'm not exactly predicting that's going to be the case. Now, I will say I wouldn't be surprised to see this game close at halftime. And by that, maybe 17-13, 14-13. Heck, it may even be tied. But I just think that as this game gets into halftime, Minnesota adjusts to the brand new SDSU offense. Minnesota's offensive line gets it going with Ibrahim and Smith. Maybe they find some more success, and Joe Rossi is able to figure out how to stop this SDSU offense. Minnesota comes away victorious 35-17.
All right. We want to thank everybody for listening to the first preview of the 2019 season that was brought to you by the Goal Line Club. Lots of things that you can participate in there, tailgate, tunnel team, what have you. Check out their website and, you know, support Gopher football in a monetary way by supporting the Goal Line Club. Again, we want to thank you for listening. Just in general, we've had incredible support this last month. It's been really fun, and there's a lot of excitement around Gopher football.
Yeah, I mean, our download numbers are just, I mean, they're stupid.
They're stupid. They're stupid exciting.
There are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of you guys listening to us this month. And we talked about this at the live event when 160-something of you guys showed up. I mean, we can't thank you enough from the bottom of our heart for supporting just this podcast about Gopher football. And we know that there's not enough Gopher football talk on these airwaves and in the Minneapolis market and just across the country. So for you, those of you who have found us in the last few months and have really started picking things up again, we can't thank you enough for listening. It means the world to us.
Yeah, thanks a lot, and go Gophers.